Hi, and welcome to the Turning Pain into Strength podcast. I am your host, Michelle Eberwine. Today, we're going to be talking with Frank Rivera. He is the author of I Have Sarcoidosis, But It Doesn't Have Me. He also wrote a book called Part 2, My Life as a Rare Disease Sarcoidosis Patient. He is also the president of Stronger Than Sarcoidosis and Sarcoidosis of Long Island. Those are wonderful resources for somebody who is newly diagnosed in the New York area. He has just dedicated his life to being a patient advocate to help anyone basically who has been diagnosed with this rare disease. Now you will learn what sarcoidosis is in the interview, but just so you know, it is an inflammatory disease, also that it's rare, that causes lumps to grow in one or more major organs in the body. So Frank has a lot of these growths, and you will hear about how much of them he has in his body, but this man goes out and fights for others who have this rare disease. So he is just amazing. And I'm also so excited to have this interview released this month because it is Sarcoidosis Awareness Month. So this is a great time to bring awareness to this awful rare disease. I hope you will be inspired by his story as I was. And of course, you can find all his links on my website. Thank you and subscribe. Have a great day.
My health has taken some turns. The last 2 years has been really rough for me. I just don't.
Do you know what has changed for you?
Well, I ended up having a stroke.
Okay.
That's due to my sarcoidosis.
Okay.
And I fell down 10 steps when I passed out.
Wow.
When I had the stroke.
Okay.
And I lost motion in my left side, in my left arm, and my left leg.
Wow.
And I was in physical rehab. I was there for 8 weeks.
Wow. So an inpatient rehab.
Inpatient, yeah. Wow. So I could learn to walk again.
Your mobility, yeah, for sure.
I was dragging my left leg when I was trying to walk.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I'm doing much better now. I'm just using a cane.
Mm-hmm.
I was using a walker for a while.
Yeah.
I'm able to climb up and down the stairs at my house now.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah. And so my arm, sometimes it acts up, but it's not too bad. I mean, the strength is not exactly at 100, but it's
much
where better. I can lift. Yeah, I can lift things. I could actually lift my arm more than this. I couldn't even do that.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
That's taken a long time then to build all that muscle strength again.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. Well, good for you. I mean, that's.
Thank you.
Mindset is such a big part of all the setbacks that we have with our health. It's you've got to be like a mind of titanium to get through the things that we get through with our health.
So I always was it that way.
How long have you been dealing with these health issues? Were you diagnosed at an early age?
No. Well, I was, all right. It starts in 2004. Well, let me just say, when I was 5, I had leukemia.
Wow. Okay. So your body was not, you were not doing good from the get-go.
Yeah. Though, like, from kindergarten to fourth grade, I never went to school.
Wow.
Because I was going in and out of the hospital, back and forth. I would fall asleep while I was in school, even when I was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I actually... funny now, not funny then, but the second day of school, second day of kindergarten, I fell asleep in the back of the bus, missed my bus stop.
Oh no.
It wasn't funny for my mom.
I bet a little panic setting
Yeah.
in.
And it wasn't funny for the bus driver who
Probably
went to
lost
go
their
look at the
job.
bus. He was like, what are you doing here?
Oh my
He drove me
goodness.
back. He drove me back. My wife was freaking, I mean, my mom was freaking out at the time.
Of
And
course.
yeah, it was great. But yeah, so I missed a lot of school, for up to fourth grade. But then,
Sure.
like, it was really weird. They, when I did go back, they were like, where do we put you in school? Because you never went to first, second, or third.
Right.
But I
Oh
took a
my goodness.
test, and I did really well in the test because my brothers really helped me out, and my mom, they really did help me out. My mom actually brought the World Book Encyclopedias. No,
Okay.
I'm dating myself now.
I
But
know.
yeah, so I actually read in those 4 years, I read from A to Z
Wow,
with
okay.
my brother's help, of course,
Sure. How many
but
brothers do you have?
I have two older brothers
Okay.
and I have a younger sister.
Okay.
But and then I have a half brother and sister who are a lot younger than me, actually. So,
Okay.
but that my core, the full blood brothers and sisters were the four of us.
Okay.
But
That is
my
able
sister was
to.
so young. She was 5 years younger. She's 5 years younger than I am.
Okay.
So when I was five, she was just born, and so my mom had to deal with her having the baby and running me back and forth to the hospital.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, but then I, in high school, middle school and high school, I was a regular kid. I was in high school. I ran. I ended up getting a full scholarship for running.
Wow.
I actually broke 4 minutes in the mile while I was
Oh,
in
wow.
college, and I ran a marathon in 2 hours and 30 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Set
So yeah, so I was a
the
big
bar
runner.
really high.
So I really was a big runner. And the reason I say that is because it kind of goes into my story. 2004, well, 2000, I moved down to Florida to take care of my mom.
Okay.
She was sick. She had heart problems for as long as I can remember. She had
Okay.
heart problems. She had one of those childhood diseases like, scarlet fever, Rocky Mountain, something like that, one of those fevers things.
Yeah.
And it affected her heart. But yeah, so I took care of her and she passed away in 2001. But I stayed down in Florida.
Okay.
And I had my daughter in 2002. So, every morning I would go out for a run.
Okay.
And I would run anywhere from 5 to 10 miles a day every morning.
Yeah,
But you had to do
yeah.
it in the morning because it was Florida. There's no heat.
I live in Florida, I
Yeah,
understand.
I mean, it was great. I lived in Clearwater, so I could run by the beach and had the great,
Beautiful.
the nice breeze there.
Sure.
But I went out for a run one day in 2004, went out for a run and got about a quarter of a mile. And I couldn't breathe at all. I thought I was having a heart attack. My chest just felt like it was going to explode. And nothing, it wasn't like a gradual, it really was like out of the blue. So went to the hospital in Florida and over by Tampa.
Okay.
They did a biopsy. They said I had masses in my lungs.
Oh my gosh.
They did a biopsy and they told me I had lung cancer.
Wow.
So I went through 4 years of chemo and radiation and I was down to 95 pounds. This radiation was extremely, extremely toxic. It was actually a mix. They called it a cocktail because it actually had three different types of chemotherapy in it.
Holy cow.
I was in a trial because by the I mean when they checked, I had masses in all four quadrants of my lungs.
Wow.
So they thought, it was either try this because there was no surgery because unless they took out the lungs and I had got a lung transplant. There really was
Holy
no surgery.
cow, yeah.
So we went through that, and then 4 years of this, they told me I was in remission, which was like, all right, this is great. I felt better.
Yeah.
But so that was 2008. Yeah, 2008. And then 2009, I moved back up to New York, where I'm born and raised.
Okay.
And because I had my girlfriend was up here, so I moved up here. And 2011, I started to have a problem because I also have IBS,
Okay.
and so I was having IBS problems. So I went to the hospital, and when they did a X-ray of, the abdomen area, they got the two bottom lobes of my lungs and said, "You have masses again in your lungs."
Oh
So
gosh.
of course I'm thinking, here we go again. I have
Right.
cancer. So they did a biopsy and they're like, "You don't have cancer." I'm like, okay. They're like, "You have a rare disease called sarcoidosis." And I'm like, oh, at least it's not. And then he was like, at least it's not cancer.
Right.
Well,
Yeah.
then I went, there's a special specialist, one of the top sarcoidosis specialists in the world, right here in
Okay.
New York City,
Oh, okay.
which is about an hour, about 2 hours away from where I live. I live on Long Island, New York. So, yeah, that happened. And when so I went to go see him. Oh, but first I got to be, I didn't get to see him. I saw this other, this other lady who is in charge of like lungs issues, like she's a pulmonary doctor, but she's one of the top sarcoidosis pulmonary specialists. And she came up to me and she grabbed all my information from down in Florida. And she was
Okay.
like, she's like, "Let me just tell you something. You never had cancer."
Oh my gosh, I was going to ask that, but I was afraid to get the answer.
Yeah, so they told me, yeah, you never had cancer. I'm
Oh
like, so
my
what?
gosh.
Yeah, I'm like, so what did the radiation and chemo, because I did go through radiation, not just chemo, but radiation as well, what did that do to me? And
Right.
she's like, well, here's the thing. The chemo helped. It helped the masses from not growing.
Oh, okay.
Because they actually, one of the medicines that they use for sarcoidosis is methotrexate, which
Okay,
is
yes.
a chemo medicine anyway.
Right.
So she's like, that didn't hurt you. The radiation really hurt you, she goes. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
And she goes, I'm going to have you do a PET scan because odds are, because of the radiation. All right. Well, first of all, I don't know if you know what sarcoidosis is.
Yes, it's all through the, I thought it was only contained to the spine.
No, it's all. It's actually 90% of the people, it starts in the lungs.
Okay.
And then it, but it can attract go to every organ in your body, including your skin. Well,
Wow.
the thing about sarcoidosis, the easiest way to describe sarcoidosis, and people, and they don't put it a lot in this, in these terms, which I think, I don't, I think people would understand it more. My white blood cells get overactive. So,
Okay.
but in the other part of the white blood cells, the white blood cells go to fight off a cold or any foreign object in your body, foreign something,
Right.
in your body. Well, my go to fight it off, but instead of fighting it off, they clump together and form masses or granulomas.
Okay.
So those are the masses that I had in my body and my lungs.
Wow, in your lungs.
And that's
Wow.
where they caught it first. But like I was saying, the doctor said to me, I can almost guarantee because of the radiation, your white blood cells went to go fight off the radiation, and the radiation probably went through your body. So
Wow.
I'm almost positive that you have it in more spots of your body. So I did.
Okay.
I ended up going to get a C. A PET scan is the only way to really determine if the masses are active.
Okay.
So t 11 years ago, I found out that it was I had it in 75% of my body.
Oh my gosh.
already. So that was 7 years, from the time of, I had the problems in 2004 to 2011. So that was
Wow.
7 years. It had time to grow, plus with the radiation, it really had time to accelerate.
Wow.
Unfortunately, right now, I have it in every organ of my body, except it's not active right now in my liver and kidneys.
Wow.
But it's active pretty much everywhere else in my body,
Okay.
including
Wow.
my brain.
You're like ahead of me here. I was like, what about your brain?
That was one of the second
Wow.
places that I noticed that was really active. And then
Wow.
my bones really, it's the arthritis that I get in my bones. And then it caused fibromyalgia as well.
Oh.
But the pain level every day that I live with is a 6 or 7 every day.
Wow. That's gotta be like your muscle feel it's gotta feel like your muscles are just tearing off your bones.
It is very, very painful. Sometimes it just feels like my joints are literally the bones are just touching. That's the way I feel. I just feel like I'm
Yeah.
on bone at this point. And then
Wow.
so going to the city was a little rough for me yesterday, but
I bet.
I do take these risks at times if I feel that if it's necessary to help
Yes.
raise awareness. So.
Yes, definitely. And how did you take this information? I feel like you have had more bad information, more health issues than the average person. And not only that, very devastating news. It's one thing to have it just in your lungs, but to have it throughout your body. What did you do with that information? Did you go into like research mode? Did you go into an awareness mode? Like, what did you do? Did you go in the dark hole? What did you do?
How about all three?
Okay, well, that's fair. That's fair.
In the beginning, I started researching because I really didn't know much about it.
Yeah.
And what I did know, like when I first found out I got sarcoidosis, my now wife, but at the time we were dating when it happened, we got married that same year that I got diagnosed with sarcoidosis in 2011. Her brother has sarcoidosis.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the thing about sarcoidosis is if you get it detected early enough, there's a good chance that you could go in remission
Okay.
with steroids. Prednisone
Okay.
helps it, and you go into remission, which he did when he got
Okay.
it. And he had got it in like the 1990s. He got it,
Wow.
so he's been in a remission for a while.
Okay.
He had one flare up since. That's it. Since the 1990s, so 30 years and only one flare up is pretty good.
And all he's on is prednisone?
He's not even on it anymore.
Oh,
That's
wow.
it's
Okay.
usually they do a big blast of prednisone, and if they catch it early enough, where they only find a couple of masses, it usually can control it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking when I first found out, I'm thinking, okay, I'll take prednisone and I'll be fine.
Right. Yes, absolutely. But no.
And then finding out that I had it in 75% of my body
Yeah.
really put a lot on me because I was very active. I was running 5 to 10 miles a day, to I couldn't even walk a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
So mentally, it really put a really hard, it was very hard for me.
Sure.
And then in 2014, but at that time, I had to go on disability. I couldn't even work. I owned my own business and I couldn't even work.
Yes.
It was hard, monetarily because I went from owning my own business to going on disability. I'm making about a tenth of what I
Of
was making
course, they
a
don't
month.
help much at all.
So my wife ended up having to pick. I mean, she's working at the same job. She's been working at the same job for 23 years, almost 23 years. But I mean, Now she's the main breadwinner,
She's
and
the
I
sole
had,
provider now.
yeah, and I mean, I do what I can with disability, but
Of course,
it's
of
just hard.
course.
But yeah, so it's been hard on me mentally. It's been hard on me physically because, like I said,
Of course, yes.
waking up every day and knowing that you're going to be in six or seven pain is not a fun thing. Like people don't understand. Like, and everybody, I'm an invisible illness.
Yes.
And then you get that old, well, you look great. And
I
I'm like,
understand
yeah.
100%. I
And I'm
understand.
like, oh, you should see my insides.
Right. Or how hard, we work to look normal and look like we want to just blend in and fit in and go unnoticed, And on some days it's like, whoo, goodness,
I
but
call it, I'm gonna date myself again, but I call it the tears of the clown, of a clown.
okay.
That song, Tears of a Clown.
Yes.
Because one of the words in the thing is, you have a smile on your face, so other people don't understand what you're going through, and
Right.
and that's the way I feel. So my mom and dad were big Smokey Robinson fans, so that's why that always, whenever I hear that song, and I can always relate to it now, because I do. Everybody always says, "Wow, you always have this smile on your face. You don't look like you're sick, or you don't act like you're sick." What do you want me to do? Do you want me to? Would you hang out with me if every minute of the day I'm going, "Oh, ah, oh, ah,"
Exactly,
Nobody's
exactly.
gonna want to hang out with that.
Right. Yes, there's days where you're taking yourself up off the floor in a fetal position, mentally, maybe physically, and gosh, the mental work. So tell me, I feel like when you get up in the morning, you have to go into a mindset of how you have to get your mind right because your body isn't. Okay.
And I always say there's two parts of this disease for me. There was the first part where I would try to outwork my disease,
Okay.
which actually made my disease worse.
Okay.
I was doing like I was joining Global Genes, I was joining this one, I was joining that one, I was joining all these groups, doing
Okay.
all these speaking engagements, doing I was out, probably 5, 6 months out of the year,
You
out of the
became
house.
so passionate, you just were burning out.
And I started my own organization, and I did walks, I did food events, restaurant events,
Holy
movie theaters.
cow.
So I was just like all over the place, and
Wow.
I crashed.
Yeah.
I crashed big time. 2015, and I'm very open about this. 2015, I was told that they didn't really have any, much medicine that they could help anymore.
Okay.
And I woke up one morning and I was just in so much pain. I could barely, not barely, I barely got out of bed. I could barely get out of bed if I did even, I don't even know if I got out of bed, but I planned my own suicide.
Okay.
I had it all set up, had everything ready to go. And then one thing I did that changed my life, I could say, is that I've had the same therapist since 2011. I've had the same therapist. And I called her before I decided to actually commit suicide.
Okay.
I called her to let her know that I was going to. And she said something that really rang true to me. At first, I kind of, when she said it to me, I kind of fought back with her. But
Okay.
she's like, you don't want to kill yourself. And I'm like, yeah, I do. I have everything right here. She's like, no, you wouldn't have called me. And I'm like, oh. She's like, you're in pain. And you just want to get rid of the pain, but you don't want to die.
Right.
You have a child, you have a wife, and you don't want to do this. And She goes, "You wouldn't have called me." She's like, you would have done it. And unfortunately, with men, that's usually what happens. They don't call somebody, and that's why men's suicide rate is so high, because they actually do it. Where they say the women will call and ask for help a lot of times, where men won't. So, so that happened, and she's like, "But to be on the safe side, you need to bring yourself to a hospital." And so I put myself in a 72-hour watch on a mental hold, and that 72 hours was one of the best 72 hours. I mean, it's not, I know it wasn't in a great place, but it was one of the best, because it woke me up just talking to people
Oh,
and
so
un
they gave you some help?
yes, the hospital itself, actually, I had to go to meetings. I had to go to my own meetings and group meetings, and it was really eye-opening for me. And it made me think a lot more. So it made me like change the way I was doing things. So unfortunately, got some more bad news in 2016, but my whole mental health changed,
Where you could
because of,
handle it.
yeah. At 2016, I was actually told I had 6 months to live.
Oh my gosh, Frank.
I ended up early 2016, I got diagnosed with Parkinson's, which has it was no reason. I just got lucky. I got the daily double, as my doctors would say. It had nothing to do with sarcoidosis at all. It just happened. But between the Parkinson's and the sarcoidosis, they were both fighting for. As my Parkinson's specialist said to me, he goes, "They're both fighting for turf of your brain. They both want control of my brain." And with that, it caught the sarcoidosis. I ended up, two blood vessels that go in your back to go give the blood to the brain. They got clogged up, and so bad that at one point I was at close to 50% blood flow to my brain, and the surgery at that point, because I was so weak and so sick, that the odds are that I wasn't going to make it through a surgery at all. Like, I had like 30% odds, they were saying, to make it through a surgery. That's how weak I was. And because I already had 9 surgeries
Oh
due to
my
this.
goodness.
Yeah. So they were like, "We don't know what else to do." I mean, of course, the last ditch effort would be to try to unclog the arteries, but we're not sure if you're going to make it through that surgery. So, but when I got that news, I was, like I said, I was a different person. I literally said to the doctor, I'm like, and by that time, my sarcoidosis specialist and I were really are really close, and I said, "Doc, here's the deal. I don't see a toe tag on me, and I don't see an expiration date anywhere on my body. So you could say whatever you want, but until it actually happens, I'm going to live my life." Because I got the second chance, because in 2015, I feel like I had the second chance already, So I wanted to do whatever I could do. And he's like, "I'm glad you said that." He goes, "If you want to fight," he goes, "I will try to fight for you, with you." And because of that, he found a doctor from Johns Hopkins, that did this experimental surgery, and also had this the a clinical trial drug that might help me. And I took the drug. And all of a sudden, the blood and blood and oxygen to my brain started going up and up and up. Like now it's at 93%,
Okay.
93, 94%. It's not
Wow.
perfect, but at least it's livable.
Yes, for sure. And
And
all you had to do was take this new medicine.
yeah, what it did, it dissolved the blockage,
Okay.
the granulomas. And I'm like, why can't we use this for sarcoidosis more often?
Right. That
but
sounds like a
it was,
plan.
yeah. But she's like, first of all, it's not approved for anything.
Right.
That's
Right. It's
first
a
off.
trial.
Yeah, it was a
Were you
trial.
scared taking that?
I figured I had nothing to lose at that point.
Right. That's true.
Yeah, so I mean, what? Yeah, it was 6 months,
Right.
or
You're just rolling the dice here.
yeah. I mean, at that point, when you get told you have 6 months, you're like, what? You know?
You'll try anything, of course.
Yeah, as long as the safety parts of it, like you know, I did. They did give me all the information about the safety and if they had, because it was in trial two, phase two. Yeah,
Okay.
it was in phase two. So they had some information on it, so that helped out.
Okay.
Yeah, so that is weird how, you know, 1 year is only 1 year different from 2015 to 2016. My whole attitude changed.
And how, what happened? Like, did you just wake up and decide to work on your mental health and be stronger? Like, how
Yeah.
did the strong, where did the strength come from?
Well, what happened afterwards is that I started to look in my sarcoidosis groups and talking to people and learning from people. And then I was studying data and finding out that well, in a 2 year from 2015 to 2017, there was a 2 year gap of 30 people that I personally knew passed away from sarcoidosis.
Wow, that's a
And
lot.
yes, and in that time, 18 of them committed suicide.
Oh,
Yeah,
wow.
and 12 of them were men.
Wow.
So that gave me a wake up call of we need to stop. We need, because this is get, I mean, that's a 2 year period, 18 people. So, you know, every
Wow.
2 years we're gonna have 18 people.
You
You know,
don't hear about that
yeah,
statistic.
you don't hear about those statistics because the sarcoidosis is so painful. It, and I mean, we don't have a cause, never mind a cure. So we
Yeah.
are so far away. We are so, and this is, and what makes it so helpless, this disease has been around since the 1800s.
That is shocking. You said earlier back in the 90s, and I'm
Yeah.
thinking I've never heard of this until recent, more recently.
And
Wow.
I mean, I can't believe that in since the 1800s, we are nowhere near being close. And what's going
Yeah,
on? You
there's
know?
no research and stuff going to it.
Yeah.
Not enough money.
Yeah, not enough. Yeah, because when I first started, when I went to Rare Disease Week, the gentleman who is the head, he was the president of Every Life Foundation. He came over to me. He's like, first of all, and this was 2012. He's like, first of all, you're the very first person with sarcoidosis to ever come to Rare Disease Week. And he goes, second, I want to let you know something. He goes, you know how much you're getting from the government? Not one penny. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know, the reason we get money now is unfortunate, but what made it alive was not, it's one of the top diseases for 9/11 first responders and survivors.
Wow, because of all the dust and the chemicals going into the lungs.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know, they were told not to wear, that Christy Whitman told them not to wear masks and all that other
Yeah,
stuff.
don't worry about
And
it.
yeah, so they a lot, and now it's also become very prominent in people who were in Afghanistan and Syria,
The
and Middle East,
sand.
anywhere in the Middle East as well, because of the burn pits.
Wow.
and a lot of vets now are coming with sarcoidosis.
I was going to say, our poor vets who don't get half of the health care and the respect, I think it is, for what they have done for us. And now we're going to throw this on them. Oh my gosh.
So unfortunately, like the one thing I think I got along with the 9/11 first responders because I didn't ask them for anything. Like a lot of people wanted to use their face, and John Field told me this. A lot of people want to use their faces
Why?
as the poster boy for this, a poster boy for
Oh,
that,
for the
and
attention.
and kind of use them just for the
For
for their own purposes.
self-promotion instead of helping them.
Where when I came in there and he's like, "What do you want from me?" I was like, "Nothing. I don't want anything. I just want to give you my card to let you know that if any of these people have sarcoidosis, they can call me and I will help them any way I can." And he was like, "Wow." And then like a year later, I got tickets for a Met game. I got 30 free tickets for New York Met games. And I was like, "You know what? I'm going to give them to the 9/11 first responders." And I just gave them the tickets free. And they were like, "You're giving us free tickets?" And they put, and they, on the board, they put up, "Thank you to our first responders." And I mean, I was like, because they asked me, "Do you want your, do you want us to talk about your organization?" I'm like, "No, talk about the first responders. They're the heroes." They're the heroes,
Well, that was
especially in this
so
time.
kind of you. I mean, you brightened up their days in so many different ways, and that's your
I mean,
passion.
I saved four tickets for myself, my wife, my daughter.
Yeah, of course.
But we went, and like I said, everybody was just thanking us. And I always say my job is complete if I help one person a day. And that means more to me than any trophy I would get, any accommodation I get. If you look, if you, even my wife says, "Why don't you put your accommodations on the wall?" I don't. They're all in a file cabinet. I'm like, for me, the biggest thing that is somebody coming up to me and saying, "Thank you so much. Either you made my day, or you found me a doctor, or you did this for me. Thank you." That to me means more than anything in this world at this point. It's just knowing that I help somebody. Or if I talk, like, because I, with my mental health projects that I've done, if I've talked to somebody and told, and made them think more about their mental health and help people and help themselves, because, I do a lot of with male mental health because, it is a stigma. And, so I just want to make sure that they know that, hey, you're not alone.
And it's
And
okay to ask for help
yeah,
as a
exactly.
man.
I always, my saying with mental health is you are strong if you ask for help. You're weak if you don't.
Yes,
If you
that's a
know
good
you need
thing.
help and you're strong enough to ask for help, that is, that's being strong. I mean, when you know you need help and you're not asking for help, you're just hiding. And that's where the weakness comes into me. So I just feel like, so I try to, push that now as, and unfortunately, like you said earlier, men are taught to be the breadwinners, are taught to, like the Spanish side of my family is very much into, you don't cry. A male man never cries. A man never, never shows emotion. And you had that stern upper lip, and that's the way it was brought up.
Suck it
And
up was a
suck it up.
term in our
Exactly.
house. Strong
Exactly.
Italian family. Yes. Yeah,
So
there's no complaining.
I'm half Spanish, half Irish. So, but yeah, so it's, I want people to know that it's okay. That it is, A lot of people, in the communities that I've dealt with always like, "Oh, you're, like I said, the smile and you're so strong." Well, you know what? I'm not always.
No.
And there have been really bad moments of weakness in my life. And nobody's perfect. Nobody's ever, and so I want them to know that it's okay to have those moments, but it's what you do with those moments, you know? So I've been at the low of lows, and I've also been pretty high on getting stuff, you know, done and have people, you know, pat me on the back. And but the one thing I try to do is stay in the middle somewhere.
Yeah, well, no, you deserve that recognition, though. People go out of their way because they want you to be recognized for the hard work that you're doing. So you should frame all those recognitions. Get them out of that file, get them on the wall. I agree with your wife.
I know my wife is like, come on, you know,
Yeah, be proud of yourself. I mean,
that's from Barack Obama. Come on.
yes, exactly.
I'm
Exactly.
like, it's
But
great. I love it. I put it up on, like, I put it online for people to see, but I'm like, that's enough for me.
that's enough. I know that,
I
yeah.
got a 2 years ago, I got an award from Bernie Mac.
Okay.
Bernie Mac Foundation is a foundation for sarcoidosis because he had sarcoidosis.
Wow.
He
Okay.
passed away. He passed away from pneumonia, but the pneumonia was due to his sarcoidosis.
Now, why didn't they tell us that?
Nope. See, that's the thing. On the death certificates, they don't put sarcoidosis as a cause of death. Not recently, but do you know Michael Clark Duncan from the Green Mile?
Yes, the big guy.
Yes, exactly. He passed away, they said heart attack.
Right.
Well, he was at that time he was engaged to Omarosa from
Oh,
the
that's right. I remember that.
I would say the one great thing that she did is
Yeah.
she fought to get sarcoidosis put up because he had sarcoidosis of the heart.
Oh, wow.
It attacked his heart and stopped his heart and hence the heart attack. So she actually fought to get it put on his death certificate.
Oh, wow.
So now they'll put on death certificates, you know, due to complications of sarcoidosis.
Oh, okay.
And you
Okay.
know, so which I mean, it's sad to say you have to have that because people are like, well, you don't die from sarcoidosis. So
Oh, wow.
it's not important. You don't die from
It's like, let me explain something to you. Come sit
sarcoidosis.
down for a
Yeah.
minute.
I mean, like for me, I have a loop monitor for my heart.
Okay.
It's under my skin. Because there was one time right after I got, this is my second one. The first one, about a couple of weeks later, my heart stopped three times while I was sleeping.
Wow.
Over a second.
Wow. And is it like a pacemaker that'll
No,
shunt?
this loop monitor, what it does is it sends information to the doctor, and the
Okay.
doctor then they it's a 24-hour watch on these, and it'll buzz when there's something like that. So that morning I got a phone call at 7:30 in the morning. Oh, by the way, the ambulance is coming to your house. I'm like, what?
Oh
Your heart
my
stopped
gosh.
three times for over a second.
Wow.
And there, so yeah, so the loop monitor kind of, and I don't know if it really didn't save my life, but it could have saved it in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, so I mean, when it attacks the heart, when it fully attacks the heart, it is a killer.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there was a football player called Reggie White.
Yeah.
He died, same thing, heart attack. They said, no,
Oh.
it was the sarcoidosis that attacked his heart. Bill Russell, who just passed away last year, the basketball player, same thing. He had sarcoidosis. He was fighting
Wow.
sarcoidosis battle for, and with him and his daughter both have sarcoidosis.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible on how those are opportunities to bring awareness, and they didn't.
Yeah. There's a couple of singers now, rap singers. There's two rap singers now that are actually talking about sarcoidosis and
Okay.
raising awareness.
Are you able to prepare your body for like getting on an airplane? Are you able, and does it help to rest like a couple of days up before, before flying? Or it just doesn't matter.
Every day I don't know how I'm gonna feel, so it's really
Okay.
rough. But yeah, I do try to at least so the fatigue doesn't set in too much. I do try to rest as much as possible because a lot of times, like I didn't go to Rare Disease Week this, it was last week.
Okay.
Because when I'm doing a whole week, it takes me about 2 weeks to, excuse me, 2 weeks to recover.
Okay.
And so,
Typical autoimmune, yeah.
yeah. And the thing is it's because my body is getting weaker, it's getting harder to recover.
Okay.
So that's why, like, the autoimmune thing is 3 days. It's the total time is 3 days,
Okay.
including the trips. Same thing with the fly-in, and the and same thing with the World Orphan Drug. It's 3 days as well. So at
Okay.
least you know, it, yeah, it'll hurt. it'll I know it'll hurt my body, but World Orphan Drug Conference, the last year I had a round table that I spoke about mental health. That was the very first time they actually had anybody talk about mental health.
Wow.
And then this year they called me up and like, do you want to present about mental health? So I have a 20-minute
Wow.
presentation where that's over, I think right now, close to between 1,000 and 2,000 people that are going to be there.
Are you petrified?
I don't get nervous, but the funny thing is, I don't like to over or prepare too much for, I like to speak off the cuff
Okay.
a lot of times. So, but like when I'm doing a presentation, I get a little more nervous because then I have to like I have to have the slideshow and you know that because then I have to really start you know preparing for it a little bit more. Where
Yes.
like the other things, I'm like, all right, I can just speak. But
Right.
yeah, so the presentations, yeah, I do get a little.
What do you speak about? Is it more towards men, or is it more towards overall mental health and having rare diseases and the mental health tying together?
Yeah, I've done like for the like fibromyalgia when I did theirs, I did more chronic cases.
Yes.
So then I do, when it's something like this, I do I push it, prepare it more for the rare disease cases. I look up case files and try to get information about like through the case files of how many people. It's hard to get how many people are actually, but you know, you think about it, 30 million people have rare diseases. So how many people? That's just the patients. Now we're talking the caregivers and the family.
Yeah.
And so all my talks always include the caregivers and the family as
Okay.
well.
Yeah, they're
Because
always forgotten.
caregivers have to deal more mental, or not more, but just as much mentally. You know, they're going to work and then they're going and they're caregiving for the family person, whoever it
Right.
is, whether it's, and if it's a child, it's even, you know, it's just as
Yeah.
hard, if not harder. At least with a pet, if a parent or like with my wife, at least she knows I can take care of myself to a certain extent. And
Correct,
then, you
yeah.
know, but I've seen how much it has affected her and how hard it is on her. And then, you know, so I talk about that as well and make sure that caregivers, like I have a couple of slides that I talk about caregivers, how to take care of yourself. Like it's okay to take, you know, an hour out of your day and get away from this.
Yeah, mentally
Yeah.
regroup.
Do something that you really like to do. Get out. And like my wife, you know, she has a best friend for like 20 some odd years and they just go out and I'm like, she's like, you want to go? I'm like, no, this is your time. You need
Yeah.
that time.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I have my time at work. I'm like, that's not time. That's
No,
not
that's
for yourself.
working. That's not
So yeah, stuff
fun.
like that. People need to do that. And
Yeah.
then like my daughter, she needed, because you know, now she's 21, but in 2011, she was 9.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's lived this, you know, 13
Yeah.
years,
Her dad's
you know,
been sick
12, 13,
this
12
whole
years.
time. Yeah.
Yeah. And she had to grow up with, like, she would go to school. And before she goes to school, she would put her head into my bedroom and say, do you need anything? make sure you eat
Yeah.
that lunch. And then, or at lunchtime, she would text me from school, "Are you doing okay? Did you eat lunch?"
Yeah. The guilt you have as a parent for that. It's like no kid should be doing that, you know? And my boys were the same age. They were 7 and 9 when I broke my back and had to go into this whole different life than what I wanted to provide for them. So I understand that them checking. I have one that still lives at home, and he still pops his head in and checks in on me when I'm in bed, and I feel so bad. It's like you shouldn't have to check on your mom, you know? But it is our reality, and we're definitely thankful that we have someone checking on us. But yes, they have to take care of their mental health as well.
So, I break it down into that, and then of course I break it down of patience, try to be mindful of you. And one of the biggest things that I've learned that has helped my mental health is when I am sick, it's okay. If I need to take the day off, I'm gonna take the day off. You have to accept the fact that, yeah, we do have a disease. We do, or something chronic that your body's, t when your body's telling you, "All right, I need a break," you need to take that break, because all you're going to do is hurt your body even more. And that goes back to what I was talking about earlier of jumping, I was going to California, I was going to here, going
That's
there.
just too much for a body that's broken.
So I really, I've learned that it's okay to say no. And the other thing that I've taught people is set realistic goals, and they could be very, very short-term goals. I got up out of bed, I walked down the stairs. That's a goal for me, because there's some days I can't do that. And then I'll celebrate some of my goals, with myself. I don't need everybody around to celebrate it, but I celebrate it. And I achieved it. But if I don't achieve that goal, I don't harp on it either. I'll say, "All right, I'll try it again next tomorrow. I'll try it again next
That's
month."
hard to learn for a lot of people that it's okay that you didn't make the bed today, or that you made dinner, or the kids had cereal for dinner. It's okay. Everyone will live.
Exactly. So,
Tomorrow's a new day.
one of my goals that I do every day is I make my wife breakfast every morning before she goes to work. And so that's like a goal of mine. It's, it makes her feel good that she doesn't have to do it, and it makes me feel good that I'm actually doing something.
Sure, and that's big. That's a big goal, actually, though.
So I do, have I done it every morning? No, but I try to do it when I
When you
can, as much
can.
as I can. But it's, I've learned, like I said, you have to make them attainable. When you make them too far out, it already is setting yourself up for a failure.
Unattainable goals are nothing but disappointment.
When I like, I put up a billboard in Times Square,
Oh, wow.
and you think it's expensive? No, it cost me $500 for the
Wow.
whole day, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
And what was it for?
I at first what they asked they called me and asked me if I wanted to do it for Rare Disease Day one day. It was a couple of years back. It was probably about, I think it was 2018, yeah. And so they were like, "Oh, well, promote your organization, blah blah blah." I'm like, "No, I got a better idea." I contacted sarcoidosis patients, and I'm like, "Here's the deal. I'm gonna put your face up on a billboard, and you get to put 2 to 3 sentences of what sarcoidosis means to you." And that, I got a good showing of people. Probably got about 50 something people. And it goes up, it went up for like 30 seconds per person. And everybody, all the people that were on it thanked me because they felt heard and seen. I mean, Times Square is one of
It's the
the most,
biggest place ever.
I mean, when you talk of billboards, they're all over. But
For
you see,
sure.
it was seen. There was actually two billboards. One was up and down one, and
Mm-hmm.
then the other one was, you know, horizontal.
Wow.
The other one was vertical. So they actually came at the same time. They would click up. Yeah. So I didn't. At the end, I promoted. I just said, "This is Sarcoidosis of Long Island." And the reason I did that is because of all the 9/11 first responders that are in that area. I wanted them to know that they could call me. But and I did. I got a lot of people calling me saying I saw it up on the thing, and you know, and then I also got a lot of the patients that were saying thank you. I felt seen and heard.
Sure.
I'm not alone. When I see 50 people, because what the company actually did is they took film. They filmed the whole thing for me, so I was able to put it online for because I was getting people from California, people from
Wow,
in
how neat.
Midwest, all over the United States. Actually, I did get one. I can't tell you all. I got somebody from Australia who actually put their name and their face up there.
That is really neat.
And it was, but they, I was able to send them a picture, a video of their picture up
Of
there.
the whole thing,
Yeah, and
love
they were
that.
like, "Oh my God, I'm on a billboard in Times Square."
I mean, yeah, I mean that's huge. You're famous.
But yeah, so I, you know, thinking outside of the box, it's something like what I always try to do is because I'm thinking, if Rao disease has been here since the 1800 and we're still here, what are we gonna do different
You
then?
have to do something different for
Something's
sure.
not working.
You're amazing, Frank.
And now, thank you.
I hope you realize that you really are an amazing guy. For all the setbacks that you've had, your health alone, and you still get up out of bed every day that you can, and you just try to make a difference. It's really, you really are inspiring.
But you know, one thing I know I have to say is, as much as I've helped others, they've helped me. Because if I didn't do this, I don't know if I would be here,
I
honestly.
understand.
If I would have rolled up into, like, my doctor, the specialist I have now is a full body sarcoidosis specialist, and he told me the first day he met me, he goes, "Fighting this disease is 90% mental and 10% physical." He goes, "If your mind gives up, I could give you any medicine you want, and it doesn't matter. Your mind is going to just tell you no and block it." He's like, "So you have to decide whether you're going to be that 90% or you're going to be that 10%."
Well, you did the 90%, that's for sure.
And he told me, he's like, "If you're not going to fight, I'm not going to be a doctor." He goes, because, I mean, he's like, there's 20,000 patients in Mount Sinai Hospital, sarcoidosis patients. Yeah. And he's the head of the sarcoidosis clinic. So, I mean, he doesn't, it's not like, you know, he
That's
has to take a
shocking.
patient. Yeah. In 2001, there was only 1,500 patients. So right after 9/11, the burst of people was ridiculous. But yeah. So, you know, he like he said, he's like, "I'm not trying to be rude." He goes, "I have plenty of patients that want to fight." He goes, "But if you don't want to fight," he's like, "why would I keep on taking you in and giving you medicine?"
Giving you
And
all the
yeah, he's,
work, putting all the work into you if you're not going to fight with him. That's understandable.
so that's what made me go out and do something to clear my own mind. And that's why I said they've helped me, because it keeps me going. It keeps me, my mind going. I can't physically go out and run and do this, but now I have, if you would ask me 20 years, I would be an advocate. I would have laughed.
No, I understand. It's like you can't take care of yourself. How can you advocate for others? But once you get yourself situated and you get that strong mind, then you're able to help others. And that's a beautiful thing. It's almost like, just like a second, you become a second person. Instead of working on yourself all the time, you're working with others. And it's an amazing world we have, the community. Even though we're all sick, but we it's a great community.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's a community. It's so amazing because we understand each other. We, you know, and when you find that community and that those people that that may not have the same strengths as you, that but yet they understand what you're going through, and they, and you can work with them because their strength is different than your strength, and it is so amazing.
You can balance each other out. Frank, where can people find you? What website? Where can I direct everybody to you?
It's www.sarcoidosis, SARCOIDOSIS,
Okay.
of LI
Of li
dot org.
dot org.
That's
Okay.
my website.
Perfect. My podcast will be coming out on April 1st,
Oh, great.
and I'm going to
People on
be.
Sarcoidosis Awareness Month.
Yeah, how beautiful is that? So I am going to put everything on my website before
Thank you.
that. Frank, best of luck to you.
Thank
I
you so
really
much.
enjoyed working with you, and
Thank
I hope
you.
we can chat again in the future.
Yeah, anytime. Thank you so much.
Best of luck to you on your travels,
You
and I
too.
look forward to seeing all about it.
Okay, will do.
Thank you
Thank you.
so much, Frank. Take care of yourself.